Welcome Wednesday morning, midweek Wednesday, Evan Bray. And if you're an Oilers fan, it doesn't matter what you see out the window. There's a dark cloud over the sky today. Someone texted me the curse of 2025, and it's a picture of Mark Carney when he was on the ice practicing with the Oilers. I don't know if we call it practicing, but anyway, he's got his goalie skates on, and I've seen this meme going around on social media as well. Was it the curse? I guess everyone will have their own opinion on that one. Well, as we have been talking about wildfires a lot over, obviously, the last little while. And again, I'm going to say thank you to so many in this province who stepped up in a big way. We did the Ralco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. It was a provincial-wide effort. Altogether, over $680,000 raised. That was individuals, that was businesses that came forward and really made a significant difference. That coupled with the fact that we've seen some rain in those areas in the north over the last little while has got us, I think, rounding the corner. We had Marlo Pritchard on Monday on the show, the president of the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, and he essentially said, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, but we have rounded the corner. We've been able to get a handle on some of the fires. I think we've got 17 considered active in the province right now, three of those not contained, but a lot of communities are now clearly out of the danger zone. Candle Lake is an example of that. They've lifted the provincial fire ban. Doesn't mean, by the way, that it's lifted everywhere. Don't forget, municipalities and RMs have the ability to put a fire ban on themselves. So I would suggest you check the map, because the provincial fire ban map is up to date. There's still lots in the province, despite the fact the province has dropped that provincial fire ban that was in effect. So check the calendar before you spark up a backyard bonfire and find yourself offside with your RM. Well, as part of the conversation on this, we have had people on from the forestry industry, for example, and we've talked about the impact of an aging forest. So knowing that in Saskatchewan's north, some of the areas, it's an aging forest, which means through natural causes, it is prone to burning and reviving itself. That's something that we know does happen over time. I reflect back, though, and I feel like we've seen more wildfires in the last decade, let's say, than I remember earlier in my life, certainly in my growing up years. So what are the causes? We know that many of these, in fact, most so far, have been caused by human action. May not be intentional, it may be unintentional causes, but nonetheless, human-caused fires. Some of them are weather events like lightning strikes. How does the climate play into this conversation is where I'm going to go with my next guest. I'm happy to have Ryan Ness joining us. He's the research director for adaptation for the Canadian Climate Institute. Joins me by phone from his office in Toronto. Ryan, thanks so much for taking the call this morning.
Hi, Evan. Good to be here.
Am I wrong when I say, you know, in the last decade, it seems like certainly we've heard more about wildfires in many of Canadians' northern regions, or have they been there all along and maybe I'm just not remembering it the same?
I mean, wildfires always been a part of the landscape in Canada, but the data do show that, especially over the past 10 years or so, we're seeing some of the worst fire seasons in Canada's recorded history. 2023, of course, was off the charts. We saw almost seven times the average annual area of forest burned that year. There was smoke from basically coast to coast, and set the record by over three times the previous large amount. And the trend is continuing. You know, this year we're headed towards potentially Canada's second worst year ever for wildfires. So things are indeed getting worse.
So can we talk a little bit about this issue, forest fires, wildfires, knowing that, and I said this off the start, many of them, they are provincial agency that is handling the crisis of the wildfires has I think spotted about 3/4 of these fires have been started by humans. So they are, whether it's negligence, in a couple of sad cases, intentionally started. How do you see, and the group that you work with at the Canadian Climate Institute, how do you see climate factoring into what we're seeing with wildfires?
So human causes have always been a major starting point for fires in Canada. It's not really new that sort of about half of all fires are started in some way or other by human activity, including in those sad rare cases intentionally. And so again, that's nothing new. What's happening is that when fires do get started now, they get bigger and out of control much more quickly because of the heat and the dry conditions that are conducive to fires, you know, drying out those forests, allowing pests to survive now in Canadian forests that used to get frozen out in the wintertime, that also leave a lot of dead wood, millions upon millions of trees and forests across the country. So we're primed for worse forest fires when they do start, regardless of what starts them.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Ness is my guest, research director for adaptation at the Canadian Climate Institute. When we talk about climate change, I mean, this can take on a bunch of different variations, and I don't want to get into the political aspect of it. I want to know what is your definition? What do you mean when you say climate change?
I think in this case, climate change is, you know, a trend in what Canada sees in terms of temperature and weather. When it comes to the conditions that lead to fires, you know, it really all comes down to heat. Canada's warming at about 2 times the global average. Our summers are about 2 degrees Celsius warmer on average than they were 75 years ago. And we see, you know, big spikes in temperature that we might not have seen before, like in early summer and late spring in Saskatchewan this year, temperatures up to sort of 12 degrees Celsius above seasonal norms. So what it is in the data, we're seeing the signal that things are slowly getting hotter and drier over time, and that's contributing to this risky wildfire environment that we now are in.
I had a guest on here last week who was a forestry expert, and he talked about the life cycle of a forest. So the, you know, how a forest can be young, and then it grows into a mature forest, and it gets to be an old forest where through a natural course, and it could come a variety of ways, it will find a way to regenerate itself. When we look at fires, wildfires, and we think about our planet as an aging planet, how much of that comes into play here, the notion of aging forests, an aging planet, and how that impacts the change of the climate?
Forests do go through aging and renewal cycles over and over again, you know, hundreds, thousands of times over the millennia that our forests have been where they are. What we have done as a country, and this isn't not unique to Canada, but many places around the world have suppressed fires. You know, fires are part of that life cycle of many forests. It's a natural process, usually started by lightning before humans came around. You know, the older trees would burn out to create room for younger trees to grow. And, you know, that would reduce the overall risk of fire again until that older wood built up and we had more, another fire cycle. By suppressing fires, you know, humans, to try to protect forests and to protect their economic value have put out as many wildfires as they could once they start, so that natural process hasn't happened, and we have much more old and often dead wood in our forests that's much more likely to burn and turn into an uncontrolled fire.
Ryan Ness is my guest, Canadian Climate Institute. So you are the research director for adaptation. How are we adapting?
We've got more to do, of course. You know, we're seeing the risk of wildfire, the severity of wildfire growing out of control much more quickly than we're responding to it. we need to adapt to this new reality. We need to make our communities more fire resilient, you know, better land use planning to make sure we're not building in risky areas, retrofitting homes with fireproof and fire-resistant materials, managing those fuels in the forest that I was talking about before they build up and become tinder for the next uncontrolled fire. But we also have to tackle the greenhouse gases that are heating the planet and drying out our forests as well. So, you know, we're not doing well enough on either of those fronts. And we need to push our governments and take our own responsibility to do more.
Ryan, I've appreciated having you on the show. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan Ness, Research Director for Adaptation for the Canadian Climate Institute. It's, you know, we were just getting into this conversation in the newsroom yesterday, and maybe it's easy for me to say because I don't live in a part of the country where there is literally a forest in my backyard, but it's surprising to me in many of these communities in the north that have now been hit by wildfires more than once, that there isn't some sort of preventative belt that is built around the community that basically separates the trees from the community in a way that it gives a bit of a preventative barrier to the community. I get it. It's probably not as visually pleasing to look out and see some cultivated land around the community as opposed to trees right butting right up to the boundary of the community. But you wonder when you see like things like Jasper, which I get it. Again, I'm going to say nestled in the forest, that's part of the gem of the community. But when it threatens people's lives, people's homes, I'd be very curious to hear what the community of the communities of L'Orange, the tri-areas communities, would say about that, taking those preventative steps to try and protect the community. Because we know these wildfires aren't going away. They happen year after year. And what that might look like, it would be interesting to see. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.